Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for being with us today at Abounding Grace on this Friday session. Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church, and I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. We're thankful for the opportunity to bring these broadcasts to you every Friday together. Well, this week, Wes and I thought that we would discuss the role of the Christian pastor and the Christian elder. It's such an important subject in our day because really, Wes, a whole approach to ministry has developed where sort of the pastor has taken on a CEO role in the church, where whatever he says, almost similar to Rome, ex cathedra, whatever comes from his throne goes. And so whatever the vision that he establishes, whatever the goal that he establishes, everything sort of falls in line and the church works to fulfill that mandate though the pastor sets down.
Well, actually, there's two different streams I think we see in American Christianity, Canadian Christianity. On the one hand, you do get that stream where the pastor is basically the boss of the church. But on the other hand, you also get this democratization in churches as well, where the great leveling, where everybody is on the same level. You have what's called every member ministry. And, you know, Pastor Bob or Pastor Joe, he's just, you know, bringing his insights into the word, and we can, on any given Sunday, we can take or leave what he has to say. You know, the only advantage that he has is that he's perhaps spent more time over the passage, reading and studying the passage, but really he has no more authority than the average person in the congregation.
I think that's fair, those two models, and yet they intersect and overlap in so many ways where you can have that. You know, I passed by a church sign not too long ago. It said, everyone here is a pastor.
Right.
You know, on the church sign, I thought, no, they're not. Yeah. You know, there are certain men called and set apart to preach the gospel. And so that is, you're right, everything is put on an equal plane. And then, of course, you see this, though, this role taking of one particular senior pastor where he can so easily turn into the CEO. Mm-hmm. The question that we want to ask today is what is the biblical model that God has given to us? I mean, that's a fair question. His church, his design, he has ordained the offices. He has designed the offices. What is the design that we have in Scripture? I think a good place to begin, Wes, is Acts 20.
Mm-hmm. Begin with the Apostolic Church.
Right, the Apostolic Church. And what was Paul doing there? Well, interestingly, this is what he writes to the church elders in Ephesus. He says in 28, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his blood. Now, clearly, Paul was not the head of this church. Here what he recognizes is that the Holy Spirit has set aside certain men to be overseers. There was an early translator, which we get the idea of bishop or presbyter, elder, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his blood.
Right.
There's sort of a hierarchy that's you know, common today, but here we see that the Lord has ordained a plurality of elders to fight false doctrine, to protect the sheep, to engage in the good warfare, he will say in Timothy, and to ensure that the preaching of the word goes forth faithfully.
Yeah, and I think that idea of office, that idea of, you know, special people, or people being appointed to a special task, whether in society or in the church or anywhere, has kind of been eroded in our society. And the office of elder has been lost in many churches. Back in January, I was in Mexico, and I was doing some lectures at a seminary. And there were a group of pastors there, and they asked my advice on a situation. They said that, you know, they have problems with people church hopping. Quite often what will happen is the pastor will preach a sermon about against cohabitation before marriage. That, you know, if people are going to live together, they should be married, they should be husband and wife. And many of the people who attend their churches are not married, and they still live together. And when the pastor preaches a sermon like that, then they start going to another church. So I asked them two questions. I said, first of all, do you have church membership? And no, they don't have church membership. So I said, okay, well, that's problem number one. People have no commitment to the church. There's no possibility for oversight. There's no possibility for discipline. You can't excommunicate somebody who's not a member of your church. And second of all, I asked them, do you have elders in your church who can be responsible for oversight and could be responsible over discipline? And there too, the answer was no. And I said, well, there's your second problem. You have to have elders in your church who are responsible for oversight and discipline over the members of the church.
Yeah, that's very true. And you even have these commands that really fit the design of what Wes just highlighted. I mean, I think of 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. And so there that call is that there is a plurality of elders who are set aside to rule in the church, appointed as under shepherds of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of his church, not a pope like the Roman Catholic Church, who they say is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church, who has set aside a plurality of elders who we as people in the church are to respect and give them double honor, especially those, and here we see this other office highlighted, who labor in the word and in doctrine.
And I think that model of a plurality of elders, the idea of an office of elders, found throughout the New Testament. Another passage we could mention is 1 Peter 5. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So the idea here is not that there is one elder over the flock, but there is a plurality of elders who are responsible for oversight and who are responsible for discipline.
Now this is all set in... alongside of these other models that are going on today, the first two that we highlighted at the beginning, where you have the pastor as CEO, or you have everyone functioning in an authoritative pastoral role, I guess, in the church. Well, you know, there is a specific office for the minister of the word that the Lord has set apart for a man, and we see this, you know, throughout the scriptures. And what is the design that God has given to the minister of the word? I mean, that's a fair question today. What is the calling? What is the design? Is he a CEO? Is he a vision setter? Is he a goal setter? What is the design, Wes?
Simply, he's a man set aside to preach the gospel, to preach the word in season and out of season. I think that's what we find in the letters to Timothy, letter to Titus.
Right. One of the verses that comes to mind is 1 Timothy 4. If you instruct the brethren, he's talking to Timothy, a pastor, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. And he goes on to say, look, for this end we labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who's the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. You see, The thing is, if we instruct the brethren as pastors in these things, what are these things? Well, it's the word of God. It's proclaiming the word. We're going to be good ministers. That is said in reaction to what he said in 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demon. So you, pastor, go instruct the brethren in the pure doctrine of the word of God, fighting the good warfare for the truth of the gospel. That's your job.
Yeah. And so the minister's authority, the minister's position, comes through the word that he preaches, the word that he brings. And I think there too, today we have to talk about the way people regard preaching. I think today, many times, preaching is just regarded as being the opinions of man. It's something, you know, man has done some study and he brings his opinions, he brings his insights. that's not the biblical concept of preaching. In the scriptures, the preaching of the word of God is the word of God. And I think of a passage such as...
Can I add to that?
Sure,
I think that's such an important point, Wes. In the days of the Reformation, the conviction was the minister's the Vox Dei, the voice of God. He's the one sent to bring God's word. Today, people treat the pulpit as if it's, you hear this, what did you get out of the message today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as if this is some subjective thing. Now, the people are called to be good Bereans and search if the things that are said are so. But there has to be a recognition of what you're saying, that this is not the opinions of the minister. This is whom God has sent to faithfully proclaim the word. And when he's doing that, God's people are called to hear.
Mm-hmm. And I think of, people may not have heard of this idea that the preaching of the word of God is the word of God. But for instance, we find it in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. He says that Christ came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. Now, I ask, when did Jesus Christ go to Ephesus? We have no record of his 3 years of public ministry, of Jesus Christ actually going to Ephesus and preaching to the people who lived there. So the answer is, Christ came and preached through his ministers.
Hmm.
He came and preached peace. So the word that was preached is the word of Christ himself. And I think especially also of the first chapter of Romans, where Paul speaks about that, what he really wanted to do.
Well, time is running out, Wes. But let me just, before I ask you to comment, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear.
Right.
Isn't that an amazing verse?
Yeah.
What you preach Christ every week at the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. Tell us.
Certainly. We have our worship services on Sundays at 9:30 and 2 o'clock. People can find more information about us on the internet, www.langleycanrc.org.
Well, thank you for joining us today, and until another edition of Abounding Grace, may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.
Well, that's all the time we have today. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our goal in bringing you Abounding Grace each and every day is that you would grow and abound in grace through the study and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. If you have any questions about the broadcast or anything that you've heard here on the broadcast, or if you have any questions about your own relationship with Jesus Christ, we would love to talk with you. You can call us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can also access our website, lindenurc.com, find out a bit more about us, take advantage of some of the sermons that we've posted online there, as well as email us with any questions or concerns you might have, especially prayer requests. We would love to pray for you in any way that we can. Again, lindenurc.com or call 360-318-0429. You can always write to us at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. 98264 is our zip code. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And for directions, you can either visit our website, lindenurc.com, or call 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today, and until next time, God bless.